You are listening to the Old Mole Variety Hour on KBOO 90.7 FM Portland. This is Lori Mercier, and we want to welcome Hector Dominguez, who is the Open Data Coordinator for Smart City PDX, a group that is working collaboratively with the community, private and public sector partners, and the City of Portland staff to use data and technology responsibly. Hector comes from a mixed background of entrepreneurship, research, and nonprofit organizations with expertise on Internet of Things, advanced analytics, robotics, and automation, and artificial intelligence. He has a PhD in mechanical engineering with a focus on manufacturing solar concentrators and sustainable manufacturing. Welcome to KBOO, Hector Dominguez.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, let's talk about what Smart City PDX is and what it's up to.
Smart City PDX is a program that is part of the City of Portland. We are hosted at the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. And that's the way in which the city is trying to work around emerging technology, data, and information. Right now, all these different disruptive technologies like artificial intelligence, big data, Internet of Things, are changing the way that we are actually living in cities, living in towns, how we do our lives in general. So smart cities is really a way that we are trying to do the work that cities need to be doing of providing better services for our residents.
Well, in terms of better services, I know that facial recognition and surveillance technologies are spreading everywhere, and they're spreading so rapidly people haven't been able to really mount sufficient regulations and publicly air their concerns about this kind of technology that's invading our everyday lives. It's present in our private as well as public lives. And the Washington County Sheriff's Office recently purchased from Amazon a powerful facial recognition program which allows police to identify suspects from surveillance footage or photographs. And this prompted Portland City Commissioner Joanne Hardesty to spearhead discussion of a ban. And this is something that a lot of communities and cities across the country are preparing to do to try to limit, or not just limit, but actually ban this technology. So Hardesty noted that we need to take a strong stance that this automated surveillance state is not welcome in Portland. So what is Smart City doing in terms of working with the community to talk about what to do with this technology?
Yeah, I want to highlight that all these issues around information privacy, surveillance technologies, we see those as human rights issues. So Smart City PDX has started that work since 2018 in collaboration with our Office of Equity and Human Rights from the very beginning. So back in 2018, we were working on some privacy principles for the City of Portland and looking into what was out there in the world. We saw what the European Union had done with the General Data Protection Regulation. They had created a whole framework around privacy rights for European citizens. We were looking at what other cities here in the U.S. have done, particularly our sister cities of Seattle, Oakland, San Francisco, where they also have some principles. And then we start from there, trying to figure out what was the best fit for Portland, and then considering all this new technology. And then we develop a set of principles, seven principles, basically in providing two main innovations. One is around automated decision systems. For instance, we need to understand what's behind any algorithm, what's behind how we store data and information, who's having access to all that. And the second innovation there was data utility. We call it data utility. That means the city, as local government, we are going only to capture only the minimum amount of personal identifiable information, and that has to have a very defined purpose that brings utility to the city and to the communities as well. So that was in 2018. Those principles passed last year in June, so it took a really long time because we really needed to have this cultural change in the city. So think about first privacy, information protection, and then let's do the data collection and so on. And then the natural way to go was now we need to see how we are going to implement those principles and what's out there that we really need to look at. And then we identified facial recognition as one of those hot topics that really could bring the community together to start those conversations. The long run is really how we are going to manage surveillance technology in a time where the information is all over. You can imagine like this new generation of babies where parents are actually posting everything about them even before they are born. And they're born. And then that creates really a whole history that somebody is actually going to mine. Somebody is going to find all these social patterns, and then somebody is going to use those. And the problem is, who has control on that? How that's going to be used or even abused? Do we have any safety barriers around that? So that's really the whole conversation. Facial recognition comes in because it already has some political momentum, and we need to react to that and do something. And we are very grateful that Commissioner Hardesty's office is being the leaders in really these conversations. We are supporting that work from the technical aspects, creating those connections with our community. However, this is a really longer conversation that has to do with how the city and government uses information and how much control also as an individuals we have over that.
Well, right. So facial recognition is just the tip of the iceberg, and perhaps it's more widely known because of just how frightening it is to people that they're being monitored all over the place, that you can't just take a walk in the park and, you know, think about anything because you're actually under surveillance in any public space.
Absolutely. I mean, you can imagine. So what is facial recognition? That's the first question that probably we need to answer. Facial recognition is really a process where through video or any other footage, an algorithm is actually collecting biometric data from your face and then using that biometric data for any purpose. Like, you can use that to unlock your phone, to have access to any facility, for instance, or also you can use that data to identify potential people of interest and quotation, right? Where that, so who defines who people of interest are? That's one issue, right?
And we know who those people of interest are. They tend to be dissidents, people of color, more vulnerable communities. And there's also this eerie resemblance to the long history of racial classification and using kind of physical types to categorize people. And so this facial recognition technology certainly sort of parallels that long history of racial typecasting and making assumptions about who is involved in criminal behavior and which group should be targeted. So that technology has also proven to be very inaccurate. Studies that have been done about this technology and how it's linked to other data have resulted in a lot of false positives and
I mean, also we need to understand that this is quite complex. It's not only one technology. There are hundreds of algorithms out there. Some of them are actually really good for some specific applications, you know? And you think about your phone, how you unlock your phone, and those are like pretty good. And some companies provide like a really good and robust service in general. So there are, we believe there are legitimate uses of the technology. However, the question is still out there. Who has control on that? And if a company, any third party is using your personal and sensitive information, how much you have control on that process, you know? That's the big question. And the technology, any technology is going to keep evolving, and eventually it's going to get there. It's going to get to a play, into a place where really good biases are going to be really... We're going to be over that. But then, as you mentioned, this is just the tip of the iceberg, right? It's like a whole pipeline of collecting biometric data, storing biometric data, having third parties using that information for any purpose, and then destroying or being able to destroy that data as well, which is coming from you and is defining who you are. You
know? So how do we as a community, as a city, react then to controlling who has access to that data? I mean, what kinds of safeguards can be enacted? What kinds of protections to ensure our privacy as citizens?
We are encouraging conversations. One, like, know what we're talking about, for instance. As I mentioned, this is quite complex, but learn about the technology, go together with groups that are actually, here in Portland, we are really blessed with a number of groups that they are really on top of privacy issues, for instance, and go and get close to them. And then start learning about what digital rights are, for instance, because digital rights is about privacy, is about having access to internet and communications, is to have access to those technology literacy. So it's that big picture. And we are trying to create those spaces as well. Before we run out of time, I would love, one of those spaces that we are trying to create is to bring some of those groups closer to our elected leaders and decision makers. So there is a more informed decision on what we need to do in the city. So tomorrow, January 28, we are having a work session on facial recognition at City Council. It starts at 9:30 and it goes 2 hours long. And we are having a number of community-based organizations. Urban League is going to be there. BIRD, the Coalition of Immigrant Rights, the Portland Immigrant Rights Coalition, Freedom to Thrive, and then some local, the Portland Business Associations, Technology Association of Oregon, and the ACLU Oregon are going to be presenting there. Also with our Portland Police, who's been asked to provide how the City of Portland Police is actually using or planning to use facial recognition. So it's going to be a quite rich conversation, and we invite everybody to listen to.
So it's important for people to become involved and to be part of that conversation. I mean, you mentioned a number of digital rights groups that are active in the Portland area. I'm assuming the Portland Immigration Rights Association. I know ACLU of Oregon.
ACLU.
Are there other groups that people might be able to contact to get involved?
PDX Privacy is one of those groups that I think they are doing a lot of outreach. You know, there is a separation sometimes between who is doing technology and who's doing more advocacy work. And we understand that groups that do advocacy group, they're already stressed with really tough issues. And then on top of that, we are asking them to start looking into like artificial intelligence, big data, and it's quite like a lot of work. So we encourage collaboration and then building this trusted networks around in town.
Well, we'll remind at the end of the show, we'll remind folks about that work session tomorrow. But it is important for us because I think people become intimidated by technology. Mm-hmm. This is complicated, can't understand it with the limited time I have. But it is important to know how this data is being collected and analyzed. And is smart cities involved in actual collection or analysis of data?
Smart Cities is, relatively speaking, a small program, but we work with everyone in the city. So our team is really three coordinating people, but within that coordination, we are collaborating with every single bureau in the city, and we keep very close together to our Office of Equity and Human Rights as well. So what we do is really provide support around policy making, around, right now we're starting providing some privacy impact assessments, for instance, to different bureaus when somebody wants to evaluate a new project or a new product, particularly on emerging technology. So we encourage them to come to us. And as a matter of fact, after our privacy principles passed at City Council in June last year, so we started a internal privacy work group with the task to develop a proposal to City Council around how privacy needs to be implemented in the city, whether or not we need a chief privacy officer, or we need something like the City of Oakland, where they have a privacy advisory commission, where that commission is volunteers from the community who have the right expertise around privacy, and they are doing assessments around surveillance technologies, for instance. Or perhaps we are doing something mixed, you know?
Well, thank you so much, Hector Dominguez, for coming in today and talking about this important issue about surveillance and collection of data that's all around us, and how we in Portland can initiate important discussions about how to protect our privacy. And